Welcome to episode 22 of season 11 of Movie Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Josh Horowitz, a podcaster and voiceover actor.
Hello there. Happy welcome. To be back, Rob.
Yeah, welcome back, Josh. Glad to have you back.
Let's talk more World War II.
Yes, yes. Or let's talk more Easy Company World War II.
Yes, Easy Company World War II. Exactly. Subsets of World War II.
Yeah, that's true. So episode 22 begins with Winters acting a little embarrassed and ends with the German 88s continuing to fire. Mm. So we ended things yesterday with Buck making a comment to Winters that he's next in line if Meehan didn't make it. And Winters isn't too happy about it. He makes some faces that maybe he's a little embarrassed, or, you know, who knows.
Right, so, the reluctant soldier.
Yes, very, very reluctant for this particular thing. And, you know, he looks around and he's trying to find some way to change the subject. And then he sees Spears come by and he goes, "Hey, Lieutenant Spears." He goes, "How many men have Dog Company got assembled?" He goes, "A handful, maybe 20. Now, a company usually has about 100 guys. So the fact that they only have 20. And
now, they may not all be dead. They're just unaccounted for because
that's right.
of all the drops.
Correct. Mm. Yeah, they had a lot of misdrops. And then he goes, "You the only officer that made it?" And he goes, "So far, still waiting for orders." And then Spears turns to Buck and goes, "You got some cigarettes?" And he goes, "Here." And Spears just takes it and starts walking away. And he goes, "Keep the pack."
Now, here's a question, and I don't know if you've discussed this on earlier episodes. So it's Dog Company, and
yes.
it's Easy Company. You know, they have Abel, Baker. They have different names than they do with the standard NATO alphabet. And why
well,
is that?
Well, because it's changed. It's changed. They changed it in the
50s. Uh-huh. So this was the normal way of doing it.
Yes.
And was it consistent
yes.
throughout the military? It was.
Throughout the U.S. military at the time, yes.
Uh-huh. Right. Now, why did they change it?
I'm trying to remember. We did have this discussion during Saving Private Ryan, so I'm trying to remember what the reason was. But I think maybe they just wanted to standardize it around, like, the world. I think that's
because NATO, right? Yeah, the European allies probably had something different. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Right.
Yeah,
so,
because I wouldn't want to be part of Dog Company. There's something about that name, you know? Delta Company sounds so much better.
Yes. Yes. Right. I mean, now it's Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo. You know, there's no Easy either. I like the name Easy Company better than
I like Easy Company too, yeah.
I mean, again, I grew up on Sergeant Rock. Sergeant Rock was an Easy Company also.
Ah. Mm-hmm. What's F?
Now? Now
well,
it's
Foxtrot now, but what was F then? Do you know?
I'm trying to remember what it used to be.
Or did all companies stop at E?
No, not at all. F was Fox. You had
So they took the trot away.
Right. It was Abel, Baker, Charlie, Dog, Easy, Fox, George, How, Item, Jig.
Item?
Yeah.
Item Company. Ugh.
That's right. Well, I'm in I Company. Item Company. Yeah, that's probably better they changed that one too. What about J, Jig Company?
Ugh.
Let's do the Jig.
Well, otherwise, what is it? Juliet, I think?
It's Juliet.
Yeah, that's not great either.
Mm. It's better than Jig.
The jig is up.
That's right. We're the company that dances. We're doing the jig. And then they had King Love Mike Nan. They probably didn't get this far, but
Man.
Nan, NAN.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then they had Oboe, Peter, Queen, Roger, Sugar, Tear, Thierry, Uncle, Victor, William, X-Ray, Yoke, and Zebra. So yeah, in most cases, it's better that they've updated things. I don't know what the fact that H's Hotel is a little better than what did I say it was? Han?
How?
How?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How company.
Okay.
I don't know, was that like the company of that they put the
It's an
Indians in? I
AI-driven
don't know.
company, Al.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a little whatever. Yeah, so Spears is currently in dog company for the next few parts of this series. And Spears just like walks away with the back of the pack of smokes, not really paying any attention. But I've always loved Spears is, other than Winters, Spears is my favorite officer that they have around here. Now, what's really funny is right before Buck gives him a pack of cigarettes, he like throws a pack to someone else.
Remember reading somewhere that just having cigarettes like that was considered to be a good form of barter. Even if
Yes.
you didn't smoke, like
That's
you
right.
could get that, you could trade it for really good stuff, or I guess a lot of them would come through these Red Cross packets. There was always chocolate in there and cigarettes and other stuff.
That's right. That's right. They would use it as bartering, for sure. Again, if yesterday we talked about Stalag 17. Stalag 17 talks a lot about that also. With being able to barter cigarettes and stuff like that. They were betting, so they'd be betting cigarettes on things. And then the shot changes, and we're back with Malarkey and his new friend from Oregon. And they're continuing their conversation. And Malarkey goes, so I was in the plant in 39. He goes, that's when I was at in Monarch tooling propeller shafts. No kidding. What are the chances of that, huh? You and me 100 miles from each other, working practically the same job. Jeez. Again, 100 miles is not so close, especially
No,
back in
but when
in the
you're all the
40s.
way out here in, in France, so many thousands of miles away,
Yeah, but so Malarkey's a little he's happy that he's found someone who can relate to the Oregonian way of life, I guess you could say.
Well, I remember when I first watched this scene, that I felt that something was going to happen here, that they're spending a lot of time between these two men, and we're going to see what happens shortly.
And then one of the other soldiers comes over and goes, "Hey, Malark, we're waiting on you." He goes, "Yeah, I'm coming." And then Malarkey turns to him, "Well, I gotta run. I'll see you around." "Yep, see you around." Interesting comment for them to make. I guess it's to partially to show the innocence of these characters.
I mean, it seems like it's almost like an Americanism at that time, like, oh yeah, see you around. But you can tell the voice of that American German soldier, that he kind of he doesn't believe what he's saying.
He doesn't believe that he's really going to see him around.
But I don't think he was expecting what's going to happen.
No, not at all. And then we see Malarkey trudging through the mud on his way back to on the way to the farm, and he passes or Spears passes him going the other way, and Spears just walks normally. He comes to where all these prisoners are, and he says, "Cigarette." And he pulls out the pack of cigarettes and starts handing them out to all these men. And, we hear a whole bunch of the Germans saying thank you in German. And then one of them goes, thank you. And, they're all passing around, and Spears even goes in and lights up some of the cigarettes for them.
Yeah.
These men are all very thankful. And then Malarkey continues, running towards the thing, and then he hears a gunfire in the background. And he's starts turning back a little bit, and a great camera motion, because the camera then he walks towards the camera as the camera is zooming into his face also. Just to
Yeah.
get the complete shock on his face. And then like he moves his lips a little bit, and he goes, "Shit."
Yeah.
So he's figured it out. This
So
you're no
yeah,
longer
I
in
mean,
Kansas.
yeah, I was shocked when I first saw that. I remember hearing instances where in many cases you would hear this on the other side a lot more, where the Germans would not keep prisoners or the Japanese would not keep prisoners. But I'm sure, yeah, I mean it happened on the American side. I mean I'm sure that would have been probably considered a war crime, if they would investigate that sort of thing, but I can see why they maybe wouldn't have done it because they don't have, I don't know, they don't have room to keep prisoners or stuff. But
Right.
yeah, I wonder how often this happened on the American side.
I don't know, but I'm now going to read a passage from page 167 of the novel Band of Brothers, which talks about this incident. It says, "Then there was the day in Normandy when Spears is walking down a road by himself and passed a group of 10 German POWs. They were under guard and were digging a roadside ditch. Spears stopped, broke out a pack of cigarettes, and gave one to each POW. They were so appreciative, he jumped into the ditch and gave them the whole pack. Then he took out his lighter and gave each one a light. He stepped back up on the road and watched them inhale and chat. Suddenly, and without warning, he unslugged the Thompson 45 caliber machine gun he always carried and fired into the group. He continued raking back and forth until all the POWs were dead. The guard was stunned. Spears turned and walked away. Tom Gibson, who related the story to me, I heard it from many other sources, although no one saw it happen, commented, I firmly believe that only a combat soldier has the right to judge another combat soldier. On a rifle company combat, only a rifle company combat soldier knows how hard it is to retain his sanity, to do his duty, and to survive with some semblance of honor. You have to learn to forgive others and yourself for some of the things that are done. Gibson said he had told the story often over the years, never naming names, but using it as an example of what can happen in war. He continued, we all know war stories seem to have a life of their own. They have a way of growing, of being embellished. Whether the details are precise or not, there must be a kernel of truth for such a story to even have been told the first time. So again, even the book itself is telling us that no one knows for sure what happened here. It's
Yeah.
possible that it happened this way. It's possible that it didn't. And we'll never know. This is something that only Spears knew the truth as to what really happened. In that particular
Yeah.
thing, but again, it's the whole idea of tall tales. Is a tall tale told isn't embellished by the person who the story is about because they want to seem larger than life, or is it like the game of telephone, where one person says something to one person, and then by the end everything has changed.
Yeah. But the thing that makes this scene even more impactful is certainly that we know one of these German soldiers. He's actually an American who went over to fight for Germany.
That's right. But
So
again,
there's that extra personalization. We were just talking to this guy, and now he's been mowed down.
that's right. But on the
I
other
mean,
hand,
you can look at it one way where, well, this is what happens to traitors to America. But still, yeah, this would certainly be considered a war crime. It's not okay to do that.
that's correct. But on the other hand, according to what I just read from the book, that
Yeah.
didn't really happen with if it happened, it didn't specifically happen with one of these American German soldiers, that type of thing.
Yeah,
You
probably
know, that
not. Probably not.
I think the choice to do that here in the movie itself is to make it more impactful for us.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing. If truly this did happen, if the soldier who ended up pulling the trigger on this one, if he had had a chance to know that one of them was American and talked like that, would he have done it? You know, I think that it's a lot easier to do this sort of thing when, you know, the enemy seems so foreign and stuff, but when it really hits close to home, I wonder if that would give someone more pause.
It's a very good question, but my answer would be that probably not. It probably would make him even want to kill him even more because he'd say, okay, this guy's a traitor.
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps.
You know, that's the question. I mean, again, we'll never know.
Right.
So according to IMDb, what it says about this, it says it's implied that Ron Spears killed the German POWs on D-Day. The actual facts about this story remain unknown. It is reported that this event happened on D-Day outside of Carentan, and also in Bastogne. The number of soldiers killed is not known either. The only person who knows the truth is Ronald Spears, who unfortunately died in 2007. But which means that at the time that this miniseries came out, he was still alive.
He would have been alive. Interesting. Yeah.
So interesting.
Was Spears one of the people who gets interviewed in this, or
No.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, he
No,
isn't.
he's
Yeah.
not. So then we're back in the assembly area trying to figure out what's going on. We go, Easy Company, easy. Hey, you guys know where Easy Company is? You see Lieutenant Meehan? Nope, not yet. Well, Major Strayer wants Easy Company's CO up front. And Buck then turns to Winters and goes, "Well, I guess that means you, Dick."
Yeah, instant promotion.
That's right. And then they hear a really loud explosion, and then the soldier goes, "Come on!" And he joins in with he goes after this guy to try and figure out what it is that they actually want. Now, I like the fact that we see that Buck is cleaning his gun as he's talking.
Yeah, that bright red
That's
cloth.
all
Yeah, the cinematography here, the way that they kind of mute the colors throughout the scene is interesting. It's going to be even more so in the next 5 minutes that we talk
Well,
about.
in most of this movie, the picture is saturated. You know, just like it was in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
The colors are not as bright as you would expect them to be.
But that only makes certain things like this red cloth that he's cleaning the gun with stand out that much more.
That's right.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of, well, I guess the movie Schindler's List. Remember
Yeah,
how that
of
whole
course.
thing was in black and white, except for the one girl who happened to be wearing red?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And then Malarkey comes back and plops down next to Joe Toy, and he goes, "Son of a bitch." And Toy then turns to him and goes, "Hey, Malark, where's the best chow?" And looks at him and goes, "In Berlin."
Yeah.
So yeah, he's and he just starts drinking. He needs a little bit of a rest, I guess, to calm himself down. And then he sees Spears just walking by calmly. Which probably you know makes him a little more uneasy knowing you know that it's actually Spears there.
Yeah.
So then Winter shows up at the CP and Strayer is there, and Strayer then says to then we hear him say "Round them up." Yes. He goes, "And the MGs? I'd say around here, sir. Can't be sure." And Schreier turns and goes, "There's some Krauts 88s up ahead. Up ahead and to the right, about, what, 300 yards? Up through those gardens. They're right between us and the causeway number two. Firing on our boys, landing at Utah. Think Easy can handle it?" And Winters looks at him and goes, "Yes, sir." Now, I think it's really cool that they show, no one's really asking, is Winters the top guy here at this point? It's like, okay, Winters is here. We don't know where Meehan is. We're just gonna have you take care of it. You know, it's like in the midst of this battle, they easy to change who's in command based on who you have with you at the time, I guess.
Yeah, I mean they're not focused on who the commander is, just that there's somebody there who's
That's
taking
able to do
orders.
it, right? And I also like that they show us the map as he's explaining this. You know, and they have all
Yeah.
these red markings on the map showing, that the causeway that he's talking about.
Yeah, no, it gives you, well, it gives the viewers a good physical idea of what's going to be happening, which is useful from an exposition point of
Yeah, of
view.
course.
But I found that this whole of him receiving the orders and then later going on and explaining those same orders to his men just helps to really show how Winters is a true leader. Definitely in
Yes.
contrast to Sobel that we saw before. You know, he's able to clearly explain what this assault mission is to his men. He's like a school teacher on a blackboard.
Correct. Which we will get shortly when he explains it to them.
Right.
And so it and then Strayer continues, goes, because my guess is they're doing some terrible damage there. And Winters realizes what he needs to do here. Then the shot changes and we're back. We see Spears walking around again, just smoking a cigarette, nice and calm. And like he looks at Winters as he's giving his orders, with all those men around this map. So I wonder if they did that to show that as a like foreshadowing about the fact that Spears will eventually become, the commander of Easy. So in some ways, maybe he's watching how Winters uses his leadership qualities, and therefore
Right.
he's going to eventually use those himself.
Yeah, it could be.
Again, there's no way of knowing that either way, but possible. And then Winters has a group of men around him, and he starts explaining, and he goes, "The 88s we've been hearing have been spotted in a field down the road a way. Major Stroyer wants us to take them out. There are two guns that we know of firing on Utah Beach, and plan on a third and a fourth here and here." And again, we see like a very crude diagram that he's doing on a piece of paper. Which just by the way that he says that there could be two more, and if there are two more, these are the places they're going to be. It shows what type of tactician Winters is,
Oh,
even
yeah.
at this point in his career.
Yeah.
He already knows that if the Germans are doing this, this is what they got. They got, two here and two here, and this is what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, no, this scene shows he definitely has the leadership qualities needed to run the company.
And even more so. And
Yeah.
then he says, "The Germans are in the trenches with access to the entire battery. And with machine gun cover in the rear, we'll establish a base of fire and move under it hard and fast with two squads of three." And then Garnier goes, "How many Krauts do you think they think we're facing?" He goes, "No idea. No idea." And Winter says, "We'll take some TNT along with us to spike the guns." He goes, "Lipton, your responsibility." "Yes, sir." "Liebgott, you take the first machine gun with Petty, a gunner." Then he goes, "Plesha, Hendricks, you take the other. Who does that leave? Compton, Malarkey, Toy, Garnier. Okay. We'll be making the main assault." "Understood?" "Yes, sir." "All right, let's back it up, boys." And they start walking out. And then they see Hall. And Garnier goes, "Shouldn't he be outside with the other Able Company guys?" He goes, "See you around, Hall." Then, "Lipton, when you see we've captured the first gun, I want you and the TNT fast as possible." "Yes, sir." They're planning this really well. Winters has this, obviously there can't be that much time that has passed from the point when Strayer gives him the order to the fact that he's already going. He didn't have like hours to sit and plan out the way he's going to do this attack. He's given this
Right.
order And, within a few minutes, X amount of minutes, let's say 5, 10 minutes, he's already had this plan of what they're going to be doing. It's on the spur of the moment idea.
And in contrast to Sobel that we saw in the earlier episodes, it's like night and
That's right.
day.
Correct. We also see that the men are very attentive when Winters is explaining to them what it is that they're going to be doing.
They better be, their lives are on the line.
Yeah, but again, if this was Sobel, they would have to be standing at attention and have to try and figure out what's going on, stuff like that. Here, they're on almost eye level with Winters. By the way that he's obviously he's still the commander, he's still giving the orders, but there isn't as much of a distance between them from that perspective.
They trust
So
him more. He's one of them. He's one of
that's
their
right.
band of
That's
brothers.
right. Ooh. And at this point, we see that they all start getting their weapons and gear together. And then Winter says to them, "All right, just weapons and ammo, drop everything else. Got any spare ammo in a pack or a moosed bag? Bring it along." The idea is that have as much as you can get. You don't know how much ammo you're going to really need here. And I also like the fact that Winters gives like a little nod and a wink to Hull after both Toy and Garnier tell him that you're not part of this. But Winters still wants him here. He formed that bond with him when the two of them were walking together at the beginning of this part. For better or for worse. And we see them all getting all their gear together, getting ready to go on this excursion, for what they're being taken for. And then Soldier walks up to Winters and goes, "Lieutenant, sir, I was wondering, you need an extra hand?" He turns to him and goes, "Ain't you Sink's Jeep driver?" So, oh, shit. "What's your name, Trooper?" "Lorraine, sir. You're with me, Lorraine." So, again, here's a guy who's a Jeep driver who wants to be in on the action. Again, for better or for worse.
I mean, this
My
was definitely
assumption is.
a different war
Yeah.
than many of the ones that would be fought late, later. The
Yeah,
soldiers
when
really
you
were
don't volunteer.
motivated. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but here you have Lorraine, who's motivated for to want to be a part of this. Wants to, you makes you wonder if Colonel Sink needs him, to drive his Jeep somewhere. Where the hell's your Lorraine? He went to go assault. What do you mean he went to go assault? I need someone to drive me a Jeep. Drive my Jeep. And at that point, Winters then says, "Compton, second squad." "Yes, sir." He goes, "All right, you heard the word. Let's move, let's move." And then we see the small squad of guys just getting out of here, getting ready to go take over take on these 88s that are firing around. And then we see them in the field. We see them running all across and they go by this cabbage patch. Did you notice that? They're running by like a cabbage patch. Maybe that's where someone got the inspiration for cabbage patch dolls. I don't know. But they're moving really fast, undercover, and they can hear the Germans, and they start using hand signals again, just to make sure that they completely understand what's going on, and Lipton is pointing out to Winters where they are, and Winters gets into what looks like a old rusted car or maybe some sort of tractor or something like that. So it's funny to see that he's cramping in there, using that as cover to watch the Germans that are just sitting there getting ready as they continue shooting shells. And we hear a little bit of cannon fire, and then we hear the German men talking among themselves and stuff like that. And that's how this segment ends. We're gonna have to wait till tomorrow to get a little bit more action on
Oh,
what's
there's
going on
gonna
here.
be plenty of action.
That's right. All right, is there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, that leads into what will be quite a scene coming up.
Yes. Which we will talk about tomorrow.
All right.
Right, so today's segment is a trivia segment where I'm
Oh.
going to test my guest's knowledge of World War II movie trivia.
Oh, I got lucky yesterday. It was a good spin of the wheel. I don't know how we're gonna do today.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, I hope you do well.
Okay.
Hopefully, it'll be from movies that you know. Like what's the name of the who played the character in The Longest Day that gets stuck on the church steeple?
Oh, wait a minute. Is
Do you
it
remember that?
Zipper?
No, that's
Is
not.
it?
No, it's not really the question. But
Oh.
that wasn't really the
buttons. Yes.
question. I was seeing if you remember that. That was just to test you. It's a good question. It really is. But
Yeah.
most people probably wouldn't be able to get it. But since we talked about it yesterday, makes a little sense. All right, so let's spin the wheel and see what five questions you're going to
Ding.
right. What 2001 World War II movie focuses on a sniper duel during the Battle of Stalingrad?
Ah, I know this one. Enemy at the Gates.
There you go, you
And I
see.
think it was was it Ralph Fiennes in that one?
Was it Ralph Fiennes? I
Who
thought it
played the
was
sniper? I know that Ed Harris played the German. Who played the Russian? Maybe it wasn't
No,
him.
it was Jude Law.
Or
Jude
Jude
Law.
Law. Jude Law. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that was another one that was entertaining. I was very much into collecting movie soundtracks at the time, and that was one that I think I got. I think that was a James Horner soundtrack, if I remember right. But yeah, that was a very compelling film. And I believe that they used that as a basis of some of the scenes that would come in the Call of Duty series. Like the one where, you get a rifle, you get ammo. You get a rifle, you get ammo. I think that was from this movie. Do you remember seeing this movie, with the snipers?
I remember seeing it. I didn't like
Yeah.
it that much. I
Yeah.
thought it was pretty boring, actually. But understandable.
I just remember it had a really good opening scene, that showed one of the battles. But yeah. Hey, I got it.
There you got one of them. There you go. All right, let's spin the wheel again for the next
Oh, we're
one.
spinning again. All
Round
right.
and round and around the wheel
Ding.
right.
Okay. Uh-oh. I don't like that laugh.
No, come on. There's nothing wrong with that laugh. Who played the title character of Corporal King in the 1965 movie King Rat?
Oh, shoot. I know that movie. That's based on the Michener novel. Who was it? It
No,
wasn't
it's based
Paul
on the
Newman, was it?
Clavel.
No.
It's based on the James Clavell.
Or James
James
Clavell,
Clavell.
right, not Michener. That's right. It wasn't Paul Newman, was it? No. Shoot.
It's really funny. I just watched a movie with him today.
Oh, which one?
A Touch of Class.
Oh, okay. Yeah, shoot. I'm
He
not sure.
was prominently featured in the TV show Just Shoot Me. He was in 149 episodes.
I know the show, but I never watched it. I don't know. Who is it?
Okay, let me see what other hints I can try and give you.
That's okay. You can just say the answer.
No, I want to try and I want to help you along here. He was
Oh.
in Look Who's Talking. Does that help?
Well, it's not John Travolta.
No. That it is not.
Oh, was it like Jason Robards or something like that?
No.
Okay. I think I'm a little closer though than
Close.
Travolta. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of something that you might have heard of. That's have you ever heard of the movie Carbon Copy with Denzel?
No.
He plays Denzel's father.
He plays Denzel's father.
Yes.
So it was an
And
African American actor?
no, it was not. That's
Not. Oh.
the irony of the Carbon Copy.
Huh. All right. I give up. Just tell me,
Okay,
who was it?
George Segal.
George Segal. Huh. Okay. Yeah, I've heard the name. I'm just not familiar with what the
Okay.
actor's been.
Okay. All right. We'll spin the wheel for the third
All
time.
right, I'm one for two.
One
All
for
right.
two. One for
Ding.
Okay. Who directed the 2019 movie Jojo Rabbit?
Oh, that's Watiti, that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was a crazy movie. I remember watching that one. It was up for awards, but it was just weird. That was where that kid who was the Hitler youth, and then he's got his Hitler
My favorite scene in that movie is the Heil Hitler scene where everyone
Yeah, that was a
right
bit of an uncomfortable film.
yeah
Yeah, that came
Taika
out just
Waititi.
before the pandemic.
Exactly.
All right.
All right,
Hey, that's
let's
batting 666.
there you go let's spin the wheel again for the next one.
Oh, so much wheel. Dee 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 ding.
Okay,
Yes. Okay.
in the 1968 film Where Eagles Dare, a
Ooh.
team of commandos must rescue a captured American general from a German castle. Who starred in the film alongside Richard Burton?
Oh no. I haven't seen this one. Alongside Richard Burton.
Think of action heroes from the 60s.
Wasn't Charles Bronson, a very young Charles Bronson, was it?
No.
No. No,
No,
he
but
was in one of these, wasn't he?
you're on
Yeah.
the right track. So he was in the Dirty Dozen, but
Right. Late 60s. Oh, it wasn't Steve McQueen, was it? No.
I mean, I can give you a hint that will just completely give it away. He is well known for playing either cowboys or policemen.
Well, not John Wayne, is
When do you think of John Wayne as a policeman?
it? Well, I guess he was a sheriff. That's kind of like a policeman.
No, I specifically mean policemen.
Huh, cowboys and policemen. Gosh, I can't think of it. My knowledge of 60s movies is somewhat limited. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, what's his face? Clint Eastwood?
Yes.
Really? Oh.
Yes.
Right, cowboys and policemen. Got it. Yes. Okay. Yeah, Clint
Okay.
Eastwood still around as of this recording. He's up there in
Yes,
years.
that's right. He's 90, 95,
Wow.
90. Yeah, he'll be 96 in May.
Oh my gosh, him and Shatner, man, they stick around.
That's right. All right, let's spin the wheel one final time and see.
Oh.
Right now you're at 50%, so we'll see
Okay.
how that goes. This is
That's good in baseball. All right, here we go.
going
Deep,
to
deep,
tip
deep, deep.
scales. Which way?
Ding.
Musical from 1958 about soldiers on a on an island in the Pacific.
Oh, no, South Pacific. That one I know.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
There.
that one's good. Yeah, some neat music from that one. Bally High was one, and what was the other one? If Ever I Loved You or something. Yeah. Interesting thing
Right.
about that musical, I had a friend of mine who I was in a band with back when I was in my early 20s. And he was a couple years older than me, a friend of my brother's, who decided to be part of a musical. He had never actually acted or sung before. He was more of a screenwriter. But being in the cast of South Pacific made him interested in the military. He ended up then joining, I believe, the Navy after that, and he's now like a career officer. And
Oh,
he's a
wow.
pretty high-ranking officer too. He stuck with it. Yeah, so that
Wow, that is
South
very
Pacific
impressive.
can be influential.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, now we will play the daily game of Name That World War II Movie.
What?
So
Didn't we just
let's
do this?
No, that was trivia.
That was trivia. Okay.
Two different things. All
Okay.
right, let's spin the wheel.
Oh, the wheel keeps spinning, man. Okay.
The wheel keeps spinning.
Ding.
Oh, this is really, really funny and ironic. Okay. Okay, what? 2019 black comedy film by Taika Waititi features a young member of the Hitler Youth who discovers his mother is hiding a Jew.
Right, Jojo Rabbit. We just said that.
That's you see, it shows the randomness of it all. You can actually get the same thing twice.
Well, there has to be, hundreds of movies that have been made about World War II. And
Yes.
I was it was interesting to see when I saw one of the lists that you had sent me, just how many were made outside of America. There are a
Yes.
lot of
There are a
foreign
lot of
films that were
Russian.
made.
There are a lot of Russian ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, very impressive. All right. Excellent. So, Josh, would you like to tell people once again where they can find Josh Harwell?
Well, you can find me at joshhorowitz.com. Though I have done podcasts in the past. It was a long time ago. I started in 2016. Along with Brett Stillo, we did 5 minutes of Trouble, which was the movie Big Trouble in Little China, 5 minutes at a time. And you can still find that if you go to the different places for podcasts. I believe it's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, all those places. We also did 5 minutes of Banzai, where we discussed Buckaroo Banzai, the movie, 5 minutes at a time. And then there was another one called 12 Chimes, It's Midnight. That one was a radio drama series using original scripts. You can find that one at 12chimesradio.com. And if you listen to audiobooks, look me up on Audible. Look up Josh Horowitz, and you can see some of the audiobooks that I have recorded. So that is that.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Route Minute. You can find me on my website, movieroutminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroutminute@movieroute.net. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. Well, until tomorrow, hooray!
Hooray!